Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go.
When's the best time of year for your child to learn to swim? Any time of year. And there's no one we trust more in our family to help us with that than Aquatots Swim School. Our oldest child, Malia, learned to swim through Aquatots, and our youngest child, Sailor, just started this spring. We trust Aquatots, knowing that since 1991, Aquatots Swim Schools have been committed to saving lives one swim lesson at a time, teaching 4 million swim lessons annually all over the world, and they have 120 locations in 14 countries. Their certified instructors and year-round swim lessons help your child become a safe and confident swimmer, and classes are available for babies, toddlers, and children as early as 4 months old. They're so good at accommodating busy schedules as they offer flexible class days and times, and even have an amazing app to make scheduling and rescheduling your classes simple. Classes are about 30 minutes long, which is short enough for the kids to stay focused, but plenty of time to build their skills and doesn't take up a ton of your time as a busy parent. They also provide small class sizes to help ensure a safe environment for your child to learn and swim. Group lessons have a maximum of 4 students to 1 instructor, which is one of the lowest ratios in the industry. Semi-private lessons have a class ratio of 2 students to 1 instructor, and private lessons are one-on-one instruction. I'm collaborating with Aquatots to do a giveaway of 1 month of lessons to one of our followers or listeners of this podcast, so stay tuned on my social media accounts for details on how to enter, and make sure that if you register for swim school with Aquatots, that you let them know that you heard about them through me/the Abundance Formula Podcast, as there are special treats available for my listeners and followers who join and sign up. We have absolutely loved Aquatots. It worked amazing for Malia. She learned to swim quickly and confidently, which made us as parents feel so much more comfortable with her around water. And we're so excited to watch Sailor do the same. So again, make sure you follow on social media at Gina_Oldham. And also make sure you follow Aquatots Official and Aquatots at Chattanooga if you're in our location, to make sure you get all the information.
Have any of you been looking to elevate your look or beauty routine lately, but in a way that actually saves you time? I mean, how awesome would it be to roll out of bed and actually have more confidence, but with less effort? That's exactly what I was looking for, especially in my show prep this season and now extending into my off season. And I found it with Serenity Salon here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yen Asana Hall is the dedicated stylist there and the beauty expert that I've been using this year for my gorgeous lash extensions, and I'm obsessed with the results. I know you guys know, you've heard me talk about it on social media a lot lately. And the experience that she provides is impeccable. She has over 20 years of experience in both the hair and eyelash industry, and her passion really is to help her clients feel empowered and beautiful. And I can tell you that that was definitely how I felt after getting my lash extensions. So, I mean, at Serenity Salon, Yen provides committed personalized service and focuses on helping her clients achieve the look that you desire. And I can tell you, I have super sensitive skin. I'm actually allergic to medical adhesives and all adhesives. I can't use Band-Aids, like, they rash me out. A lot of these details. Skin routines are really difficult for me. And we really actually work together. She has this amazing detailed evaluation before you start with her, where she goes into all the different things from products you use, routines you have, things, you know, sensitivities. She really goes more in depth than any beauty salon I've ever been to, figuring out where you are, where you've been, positives and negatives of past experiences, and then she used all that information to find the product that she has that was most compatible with my skin to get me the best results for my lashes. And this really was the first time ever that I've had lash extensions over the many years that I've competed that my eyes weren't itchy, they didn't get red and irritated, that they didn't feel so heavy, and I just, you know, couldn't hardly stand to get through just the show day and then get them out ASAP. These lashes, I literally forget that I have them as soon as I walk out of the room. And in fact, even when she's putting them on, the process of putting these lashes on, any of you guys who have had lash extensions before, sometimes it feels like torture just to get them on to start with. And she makes it so comfortable. Like, you're not sitting there for however long it takes feeling just like you're in a torture chamber. It's so comfortable. Her salon, she makes it feel like this complete spa-like experience. You can choose your own music, whatever vibe you want. She will set it up so that it feels that way. So for me personally, I like it to feel like a very spa-like meditative experience. So she had beautiful music on and a relaxing vibe, beautiful smells. I mean, she just made it this amazing experience getting the lashes on. And then when I walked out, they literally felt seamless. And then because, again, that she took so much time matching me with the right adhesives and the right type of lash and the hair that you put on there and how she weaves it in, everything, they last so much longer because I'm not messing with them. I don't always feel like I have to tweak them and make them just right and get them out of my face or whatever. I don't even touch them. They just feel like my real lashes. It's absolutely amazing. And because they feel so good, they make me look good. Like, I loved, especially for show season, they were bolder than my normal lash, but they weren't obnoxious, so that I knew that I could wear them for the show and put some mascara on them to make the stage makeup look proper, so my eyelashes could be seen from the audience and look right for stage makeup. But then in my regular day-to-day, they blend in just great, and I can literally roll out of bed and not have to put on a bit of makeup but yet feel gorgeous, and that my eyes pop a little bit more, and it just makes me feel so good even off the stage getting to have these lashes long term. So I just absolutely love her and wanted you guys to know about her. She really does provide unique care to each individual and creates an environment in her salon that feels special and is a rejuvenating experience. So if you want to check her out, her website is www.serenitysalonchattanooga.com, and you can check her out, see her services, and get connected with her. Make sure that you tell her that you heard about her on the Abundance Formula podcast, and I just hope you guys enjoy what she has to offer.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Abundance Formula podcast. I am traveling today. I'm actually at a CEU conference in Nashville for my practitioner license for orthotics and prosthetics. So I thought, you know what? I have a moment of peace and quiet between the lectures. Why don't I go ahead and get back on the podcast? It has just been such a busy season of life lately. And so haven't been as consistent with the podcast episodes, just with my competition season that was going on. But and we're going to go over that today. Today is another Path to Pro episode, part of that mini series. So we're going to go over how my first national show went last weekend, what the next plan is. I'm going to kind of go over some of the nuances of this last prep and 12-week prep and the challenges, how I got through those challenges. You guys have been loving the little mini series Path to Pro. And so I'm glad, because that's been what the last 6 months. It's pretty crazy that it's already been, like, I've literally been in prep for all of this year, half of this year. So I officially started back competing in January, prepped for my first regional show, won that show, and then prepping for my first national show. And I just did that last weekend. And so I've just been really hyper-focused on that lately. And I felt like that's where God wanted my focus. And of course, still maintaining everything else, my business, my work, all the things, family, and still doing keeping up with the podcast, but hasn't been perfectly every single week, but we will be back to that now because I'll have more time space. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. But so I wanted to title this podcast episode, You Win Some and You Learn Some. So as far as the results, so this, I did Junior Nationals, which is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my first national show in like 10 years. And was excited about it because it is one of the really competitive ones, and was really excited it was local, so I was definitely going to do it. I just wanted to see how I measured up to how the competition is now, how like the ladies look now, how they are now. I knew my biggest thing was that I just need to build muscle and size, and we did that this last 12-week prep. The main goal was to keep our conditioning, but to gain 2 pounds of lean muscle if we could in the next 12 weeks, which we did. And so I made improvements from my regional show. So we wanted to see what that looked like next to the national level girls. And my coach had always said, it kind of depends also, every national show or any show, just kind of depends on who shows up for that show. And I kind of wondered what he meant by that, because I'm like, well, I mean, of course everybody who shows up is fit, but what do you mean? You know, and so this show, so for bikini, they measure you by height. And then per height, that's what, it goes A through H in height, and then they divide all that up. So they measure you there at the athlete check-in, and they're measuring me as 5'6", and I've never been 5'6" my entire life. I'm 5'5½. And so anyways, they kept measuring me at 5'6". So I was in F class. So I was already on the shorter end of height amongst some of these ladies, which doesn't really matter. But the group of girls happened to be in F class for height. That's what was the class I was in. We're just super muscular. I mean, they were like really, really muscular. And I can see the other, because the way they lined us up to before going on stage, and I could see what E class looked like and D class to some of these other classes. And the grouping of women who happened to be in that height, those heights, were less muscular or looked like they had younger muscle. That's another great way to put it. Younger muscle, a little less dense looking, a little closer to what my frame looked like. And I thought, oh, shoot, man, I wish I could have gone down a higher, been in the lower height, because I felt like I could have been a little more competitive with who showed up for that show. So that's where it made a lot more sense to me when he would say that to me. It's like, it depends on who shows up for the show. It just happened to be that the women who landed in the height class I was in, I didn't ask their ages, but they were definitely 35 to 38, good mature muscle. These women had been lifting. They had great size. They all looked great. None of them I thought were like overly big or anything. Like, they had great size, great muscle maturity. I just looked like young muscle next to them and smaller. So, but then the handful, the girls, you know, the 15 to 20 women in some of the other heights that were next to me that were going on stage before us, the handful of girls that were in those still had more muscle than me, but I was a lot closer. I was in the mix. I felt like if I could have been in some of those classes, but so, didn't get the top five, which again, that's my first layer of goal for the national level competition. 'Cause it's hard to get in the top five. That's already number one, a challenge is to get into the top five. Really your first goal is to get in top 10, which I've done that before multiple times, in competing, the closest I think I got to the top five was sixth at my one show. And then I got seventh at a international show for my height, which was also really good. But so top five is hard to do. Once you're in top five, then obviously your goal is like top three. And then of course to win, you know, so those are sort of the layers of your ultimate goals. So of course that was my goal. Of course I would love to win first, but really was just looking to break the ice on the top five as the first goal, but knew it was my first national show. We're really just seeing where we measure up. So didn't get top five. Only critiquing again from judges is truly like, have all the conditioning to be a pro, had the stage presence and the posing was great. I just need more overall size. So that was the summation of the critiques for the national show that I just did. And so with that, which my coach fully agreed, because this was just my own perception too, just after being next to those girls, was like, I need to go into off season. Like, I need to take a year to build more muscle to be competitive with what the ladies could bring. 'Cause you don't know who's going to be in your height. Like I said, I felt like I could have maybe been a lot closer to the top five if I was in one of the other height divisions, depending on who showed up. But when you come to these shows, if you want to turn pro, like, it doesn't matter who shows up. You just need to show up with enough muscle, with the stage presence, with all the things, right? And I had all the things. I just don't have the size yet. So we put on some more size. We made, you know, we got to national stage to see where we're at. And now we know what we need to do. We need to build more size overall, and just continue with that muscle maturity. So coach totally agreed with that as well. So we're going to dive into off season prep. I'm going to take a couple months break from like training with him, just because I've got, we've got a vacation coming up in July. So I'll get back with coach, Kimoto to train for off season. We're going to take a couple months break and just train myself, for just a couple months or so while we've got some just summer things, some other things going on, and then reconvene with that. So we're going to dive into off season. But I'm actually really excited about that because I've learned so much about my body from this prep. I've learned, you know, I've eaten so much more, even more protein than I had ever eaten before, even more carbs, tons of fats. That was something I never did too much of before. I was always afraid of eating too many fats and carbs. But so I've learned how much my food, my body needs to build muscle, even while staying lean and tight in the waist and all that stuff. So I just learned so much about my body and all this stuff, which was exactly what I wanted from all of this. So super excited to see what we can develop over off season. Excited to be in off season, honestly, because I've had some fun projects I've wanted to create for you guys. So many of you guys want really fun recipes and things like that. And I have some really great ones that I've made up in my mind, but I wanted to make them, right? I needed to make the recipes and be able to try the food that I just made, like some really cool, you know, really healthy snacks for you guys that can save cravings, really awesome meals that like you could have guests over and they'd had no idea that this was such a macro-friendly, healthy meal. It would taste delicious. It would keep you on track. It would make you have fun on your fitness journey, have fun getting ready for the summer swimming pools or, and again, I've got projections of stuff. I've got this whole, all these things written out even into the holidays, like to help you stay on track with your results that you gained this summer for fall and like really healthy substitutes. And I've got all these awesome things that I've just really been wanting to create for you all. Or I've got them written down. I want to bring them into creation, but I was like, I got to taste test them. I've got to know like what this is, you know, how I would tweak them, right? I can let other people taste it, of course, and they'd be like, yes, this is good. But if, especially if it wasn't quite right, then I would need to know exactly what I needed to shift in the recipes and stuff. So being in off season, I have a little more freedom, right, to do some of those things and to have things that aren't like in the strict 12-week like go time mode, right? So super excited for off season for that kind of stuff too, that I can play with to give you guys some more options as well, whether you're desiring to compete or just desiring to make your body as healthy as possible. So that's sort of the summation of the last 12 weeks as far as results, briefly what I learned as far as me being on stage. But so then I wanted to go over, because you guys like when I do the Path to Pro stuff, like, so what did I had some different nuances and different challenges this last 12-week prep than I did last time. So I want to go through some of those, because you guys might relate. But so weird difference, taste buds totally changed. I loved my black coffee the first 12-week prep. The second week prep, I just wasn't into it. It's not that it tasted bad. I just wasn't into it. I didn't look forward to it. It didn't excite me anymore. And so I was started doing unsweetened almond milk for cream in it, which was approved by my coach. But it just wasn't, I mean, it was fine, you know, but it still just wasn't exciting me. So I ultimately decided to drink less coffee and did an extra scoop of my pre-workout, which you guys know I'm obsessed with my MRM-driven pre-workout. It tastes so good. All my clients love it. Blood orange is my favorite flavor. No, not sponsored by them, but I should be. I should reach out to them because I absolutely love their stuff, their supplements, and their pre and post workout and their protein powder, all that. All my clients take it and love the pre-workout. So I just did an extra scoop of the pre-workout, started doing that in the morning in place of my coffee. So sometimes you just have to try things to see what excites you. So that worked. I also, in my first prep, didn't do any of the Zevia sodas, even though they were allowed. Zevia basically is diet soda, but it's using the stevia leaf, so it doesn't have aspartame, so it's healthier. So I did do then Zevia's this last prep. So I would basically, instead of my coffee in the morning, did one pre-workout that was unrelated to my morning workout. And then I'd have, I was already allowed to do two a day, but I added a third. But then I would basically do a Zevia with my lunch. And then if in the evening I was, you know, having any kind of cravings or we were watching a movie and or just wanted to feel something special, or if I was just tired and I needed something fizzy to wake me up, then I would do the Zevia's. My favorite flavors for those, because I know I've been chatting with some of you guys in the DMs about like what flavors you do or don't like. My number one favorite flavor is the ginger root beer Zevia. And then my second favorite is the cola. And then the third favorite is the cream soda. I don't love the Dr. Pepper one. I think it tastes like medicine personally. So that one's not my favorite. And then they have fruity ones like grape and orange, but even I just have never been a fan of any of those, whether diet or not. I just don't like fruity sodas personally. So those are my favorites of the Zevia. So I love they taste like the real thing to me. The root beer especially tastes like the real thing. The cola tastes like Diet Coke. So those are my top two favorites. So did the Zevias. And so those kind of kept me excited for things other than water. And I liked doing the extra pre-workout because it got some more water in for me because I just mix it with water. So that was a pivot I had to make. One of the hardest things to shift back when I took a week off before starting the next prep, because I literally did these preps back to back. In my week off, like one of the things that I had missed was just I normally do for my regular off-season day-to-day coffee, do like 2 to 3 tablespoons of heavy whipping cream in my coffee and froth that. And then I usually use like a small circumference coffee cup so that it's more condensedly taste. I froth it, so it makes it even thicker. And then I'll pour my coffee, and I like hot coffee. I don't like cold coffee. So I always like my coffee to stay piping hot. So I'll use that one serving, the 3 max tablespoons. And I keep filling that same coffee cup up as it starts to cool and just keep that cup full. And I basically, that's how I get through my morning with my morning coffee. I don't know how many cups of coffee I drink, but it's probably about a half a pot or like a little less than a half a pot of coffee, but it's all with just that one serving of cream. So did that for the week that I took off prior to getting back into prep, and I really missed that cream. And that was one difference also with the second prep, is the first prep I didn't have any problem with cravings or like temptations to go off the plan at all. The second round I did more, mainly for the cream. I really just wanted my cream and my coffee. I was like, if I could have my cream and my coffee, I would be good. Because my coffee sets the tone for my day. It makes me so happy. And I don't know. And so it was harder this prep, I think, because I was already lean. I was already to stage like leanness. The conditioning wasn't a concern, right? So I just needed more muscle. So my brain, I had to battle the fact of like, okay, my brain would want to say, you're already as lean as you need to be. And if anything, you need extra calories to build more muscle, right? That was my negotiation in my head. But I'm like, well, coach obviously didn't say that I could have it. So there's, you know, it's not on the plan. So that was like my biggest craving struggle, the second prep, and definitely did have a few different caves with having some of the cream in my coffee just to like make it. But then sometimes too, that was something I was learning. And I'd heard a really great, my coach Kimbo, he's got a little, it's not a podcast, but it's something he's on his Instagram, Body by O, called Kimbo's Chit Chat. And so he and Lorelai Chapatos were talking, I don't know if I said her last name right, but they were talking about just longevity in the sport. And so like she had learned in her journey, like everything is not about perfection. There is this sense of you have to be able to have longevity in the sport. So for her off seasons, this was one thing she was just saying, she had just learned about playing with that dance of like, you know, so for in my mind, I was like, okay, this is something I want to do long-term. I do have to find this balance of longevity, you know? So, you know, the few times that I had cream in my coffee, you know, I still measured it and, you know, just kind of knew like, okay, like I don't think this is going to ruin anything in the plan, but ultimately for me, I do know this isn't on my plan, but I'm having longevity here though at the same time. And, so kind of just had to learn some of that dance of picturing, like being in this sport long-term, finding balance. And it's definitely all a journey. And obviously in the off season, it's going to be fine. I've got my cream. And I love it, but I'm still measuring it, right? I'm not just like going crazy. So, you know, so that was one thing that the psychology of like being already very close to the stage leanness did open the door for me to have to resist more cravings. Definitely did crave cookies a couple different times more than I did before again. And it was harder to overcome it because I'm like, you're already stage lean, right? So myself again, like there are so many freaking fit girls. I may be super like the fittest of who's maybe right around me, but I know there are so many freaking fit girls out there that like, it may, for competition, not for regular day to day, but for competition, maybe having this set of Oreos tonight, like normally wouldn't be something catastrophic for summer goals, but like compared to the chick that's going to stand next to me, it could be between second and third and fourth, getting in the top five, right? So those are just some of the things you think about when you're competing against national level competition and international level competition, because there was international people there too. So just little things that my brain did the dance on this prep that it did not have to do on the last prep. Another way I kept my food exciting this next go round was using my, you guys know I love my G Hughes sugar-free marinade sauces and dressings. So this time around I discovered he has a Polynesian dressing, super good, very clean. And he also has a Thai chili wing sauce that is so freaking good, super clean. Loved those two sauces to just put a tablespoon on my meats, or actually I put them mostly on my veggies because I was very happy with my meats, the seasonings and stuff. Take a sip of my sugar-free Red Bull to get through these conferences or these lectures. So the other thing I got super into the second round, because I just was so busy with clients and just work and family and all the things, I did a lot more frozen chicken this round. Like I would just microwave it or bake it because it was shorter bake times. Number one, I would just forget to thaw out my chicken, and then chicken takes an hour or more to bake. And so if I just wasn't wanting to wait or have to stay up and wait for it to cook or whatever the thing was, I did a lot more frozen chicken. And my new one I discovered this round was Tyson's blackened chicken. It's even cleaner than the one I was telling you guys about. That's the black pepper herb chicken. Those are my top two favorites that are the frozen chicken. The blackened one is delicious. And whenever I make those two at work, even when I've just microwaved it, everybody always walks in and like, that looks really good. What is that? And it smells amazing. I'm like, would you believe it? It's frozen Tyson chicken that I just microwaved. Didn't even bake it and all that. It's so freaking good. So I did a lot of that and loved it. So if you guys are looking to have some good freezer options, which I always recommend to my clients for regular day-to-day health and fitness goals, always have those, because that's whether it's vegetables, meats, have some frozen go-tos, because you'll get busy, you'll get in a time crunch, you'll get in a pinch, and that's when we make bad food decisions. So tip for that. Another little nuance that happened that was challenging this second prep was, I think Malia, our oldest, who's 5 and a half, hit some kind of developmental leap. And so she just got super clingy to me, like so much more clingy than usual. And so she got to where she would just freak out when I would go to do my morning run, my morning cardio, because the second round of prep, it wasn't winter anymore here in Tennessee, so it was gorgeous weather. So I started doing my cardio outside and running through our neighborhood. It was just a lot more fun, obviously, than staring at a unfinished wall in our spare room, right? For even just 30 minutes of cardio. I mean, you know, 7 days a week, 30 minutes cardio, staring at an unfinished wall, you know, when it's beautiful and sunny and morning dew outside, I'm going outside to run. So that I was doing that kind of cardio. And just all of a sudden, one day she flipped a switch. And if she happened to have woke up early and I was on a run, she would lose it, which would wake my husband up. So then he'd be pissed. And then he'd be calling me on my run. And it just started this whole thing. And then she would, if I couldn't get my run in the morning and I had to do it in the afternoon, she would just bawl her eyes out. I'm going to come. And yeah. I'm like, and I always have for my cardio, it wasn't just about time. It was about hitting a certain number of calories and pushing the stroller with two kids in it through our hilly neighborhood. I couldn't go fast enough for my watch to tell, you know, to get, I burn less than half of the calories. And so I just got in this really difficult struggle of like, I didn't want her to be sad. I didn't want to like, not acknowledge that she wanted to be with me or be grateful that she wanted to be with me, or, you know, it became this mom guilt dance. And so I had to find this balance of two things. Number one, I just started waking up even earlier because I'm like, I have to get this done. I have to get it done. I've got goals. So I started waking up at like 3:30 in the morning so that I could, I wake up at 3:30 so that I could be running by 4, so that I could be done most likely before she would wake up, because she started waking up earlier too, knowing that I was waking up earlier to try to get this run in. but she wouldn't wake up that early. So I would just wake up even earlier to get the cardio and stuff done. And again, sometimes I couldn't do it before and have to do it in the afternoon. And I would just have these conversations with her and try to teach her like this balance of like, you know, I understand you want to be with me, but like, if you care for mommy, it's also kind to be like, mommy, you can have 30 minutes for yourself to go run and get some fresh air and to exercise and to, you know, push for these goals that you want. And started trying to talk to her like this, like not just being like, suck it up, you're not coming with me. Like I tried to talk to her about this concept of when you do love somebody so much, then you also do have to think of what they might need or want to do. And that's also loving is to let them do something for themselves, you know what I mean? And let's also not be selfish. And I would take her on some of the walks and I would just have to walk even longer as well. So I certainly did this balance, but I tried to use the opportunity to have, you know, more big girl conversations. She's going to be six, like start talking to her about what love is and that it is loving to want to be with someone and express that you want to be with them. But then also it's loving to let people do something that is for them and makes them feel good and makes them feel empowered and makes them feel strong and helps them move towards their goals. And those things make them feel happy. And that is loving for you to do that, you know, and mom, it's just 30 minutes. Mommy's going to come right back. And so we just had to have these conversations and, you know, they were good conversations to have. So I had to do this balance of, yes, try not to feel guilty and to know like, okay, it's sweet. But also, like, it's freaking 30 minutes, you know, and as a mom, we do have to sometimes, we do need to take more time for ourselves to say, it is not too much to ask to have 30 minutes for me, 30 minutes, you know, I already lift weights in there with me, everything else in the day they're with me, it's not like I'm even, you know, like, I work 2 days a week from home with them, they're with me, I'm with them all the time, you know what I mean? Like they are not deprived of me. I can have 30 minutes and I don't always have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to get my 30 minutes for me. And I don't need to feel bad about that. I don't need to feel like I have to, if I'm going to have 30 minutes for me, it needs to be at 3:30 in the morning. Right. So I had to have some of those me conversations too, to not feel bad about and feel bad during my whole run because it took 30 minutes. Right. So you parents out there, whether you're dad or mom, those are just personal development lessons, flexes that we have to make for ourselves too, so that we don't lose all of ourselves and especially lose our health. Cause that's what happens with health and fitness is you get busy with your career or this family you're building. And it's the first thing to go. It's always put last because you feel bad taking the time from everybody else, but you don't realize like if you put that time back into you, you're going to do better for everybody else. And you're teaching proper, especially when it's related to kids, and you're teaching proper life lessons of like, love is not always just doing what you want to do, right? And so it is wanting good things for those that you love and things that make them feel happy and make them healthier to be better for you too. So, you know, anyways, that was a parent lesson. I had to learn this go around because, that was something she didn't do the first prep, but she did do it this whole second half of this prep. So that was a challenge. I had another challenge this prep that wasn't last prep. It just had more like personal life stuff that kind of went down. You know, we all have these ebbs and flows of, oh, things, personal life, things are going great. And then things get really tough in life that are unrelated to prep, right? Just life stuff. A lot more life stuff happened this time. And so emotionally, mentally was a lot more drained and physically, but was just a lot more drained. And so it was good to have this goal in mind because it kept me normally in a really hard place in life. I might want to just, your brain makes you want to just shut down and feel like any chance you can just sleep, you need to sleep. But that's not always truly the answer. And you know that inside, but unless you've got a big enough driving force to not do that, to feel like you just shut down, then it's hard to do. And so having this prep was a great thing because it made me keep my appointments with myself for the working out and the cardio appointments to create a state change. Tony Robbins always talks about that. Like when you're getting in a rut or having personal life stuff or stressors, like we have to create a state. We have to change our state in order to think clearly and solve life's problems and move forward and create success. And so what I found is having this prep and keeping my appointments to wake up and do that cardio first thing, get that run in, and then lift those weights, whether that was morning or afternoon, they were state changers. And so although it was hard to make myself get up that early, I did know that it changed everything about how I could address the day to go change my state, to get out there and run. And immediately within 5 minutes, my state was changed and I was already uplifted and I was already feeling empowered and I was already feeling more clear and I was already getting more grounded, all of those things. And then for the workouts made me change my state. I stepped into a state of feeling really strong. I would see in the mirror, see my tone and see my muscle fibers. And like, it would just innately ingrain as I lifted each rep. Like I'm lifting life's reps too. I'm literally doing life repetitions here. It became this like embodiment of what I needed to do outside of the gym. I'm lifting these weights and I'm lifting the limitations off my life right now. And so it just kept re-ingraining in me what I needed to take out of the gym. And it helped me almost as I was lifting these weights and doing the exercises and feeling accomplished and eating the right foods. These became state change, even in the foods. Like every time I needed to go get my next meal was a state change, prep my next food meal instead of grab like a bar. Like every time I made myself have to do the healthy meal that was required preparation, made me move my body to get that stuff and have to eat it, right? Couldn't just drink a shake or a meal replacement, right? It made me change my state to even eat the things I was supposed to eat. And all of those things just kept re-ingraining these affirmations that I kept telling myself, like, I am strong. I can do hard things. I can handle these life reps. This is strengthening and stretching the muscle fibers of my mind, my emotions, my spiritual life to be able to lift and handle the heavier weights and benefits that come with lifting heavier weights in life, right? So these were just all things that cycled through my mind, body, and soul this prep, as life things were harder but ran parallel with this prep. And so that was kind of some interesting life lessons that I learned along the way with that. And it just also reaffirmed too, like, that for me, competing and fitness itself, it's not ever about that final outcome, the final six pack that you get or the final placing that you get on stage. It's all about everything that you're putting into that prep or everything you're putting into that fitness journey is the reward. And so every time that I would be on my run or in the middle of the workout, like I just kept reaffirming myself that it is about the journey part. It's not about what the end result, like all the quality is in the journey. And that just became kind of the lesson that I learned through the whole prep, is it's not about what the placing ultimately is. Like the gold is in the getting there and the stuff that helps people and inspires people and motivates people and creates breakthroughs for people is all of this stuff, is these morning runs that you just were initially feeling exhausted to do. These thought lessons that you're having, these thought flexes, these emotion flexes, these are the things that people want to know and hear. And that's what makes the difference, not if you got the medal at the end or not, right? And so speaking of the medal, that was another fun thing. And I can honestly say fun thing, despite the fact that I didn't win, right, or get my pro card this time, was after I came off stage and got to Malia, because she's obviously big enough to understand if I won or didn't win. She's like, well, mommy, and I said, was that fun, Malia? And she said, yeah, but you didn't get a medal this time. And I was like, I know I didn't get a medal. I said, but I mean, I had a lot of fun and I'm really proud of myself. And she goes, well, why? Because you didn't get a medal. And I said, what we take away from a show or from a competition or something we do, we take away even more than just a win. Like the medal isn't the win. It's everything you did to get there. That's the win. I said, so what's cool is you can win either way. I said, I might not have won the medal and the placing. I was like, but I learned so much along my journey and I looked really awesome and I did my best. I looked better than my last show. That's a win. And I started explaining to her all the wins that I had along the way that for myself, I looked better than last show, that I did really awesome, that I'm super strong and healthy, and I had so much fun, and I made some really great new friends. Multiple teammates of mine from last show came into this show, so we've created deeper friendships. I've learned so much from my coach. I learned a lot about my body, and I've been applying those to my own clients, and it's really helped them get amazing results. And so I kind of explained to her and kind of had a little teachable moment for her about that. You win some and you learn some. Like, I really want our girls to not grow up with what, like, the mentality that my generation and prior, you know, you win some and you lose some, which true, there's losing, but there's so much now to be gained when you don't even phrase it that way to yourself. And it's just, you win some and you learn some, because you're never losing if you're learning, right? And you hear that a lot, but truly applying that to your language, and especially as how we talk to our kids now, is something that I want her to know. Like, we win some and then you learn some. And also to learn to win with grace, to win well and win humbly, but also be proud, but also to learn with grace, to be able to be so happy for the people that got their trophies and use that as such motivation to want to learn all that you can to maybe get one the next time that you're on stage. And so just teaching her to not, it's okay to feel disappointed. You know, you wanted to win. I'm super competitive. Of course I wanted to win. But teaching right out of the gate, this 30,000 foot view, to know that just because I didn't get top five, did not mean that this whole competition thing was a loss. Because as I talked earlier, there's a lot of mental, physical, emotional, spiritual flexes that I had on this journey that far outweigh and go beyond the stage, right? The real win is everything that went into the prep. The stage part is just you get to show off the external to other people. If there was a cool way to show off the internal, that'd be great. But we do it through, I guess, podcasts and just testimonies to people, right? But the real show is what happened on the inside. Everything that went into these people, every single woman getting on stage, every single man getting on stage, there was a journey there and obstacles and just stuff that had more stuff that had to be overcome. And so I just had the opportunity then, and that's another thing on my own time that I was like, hey, that's another cool takeaway I have from this show, is because I didn't win, I got to teach Malia a really cool life lesson. I got to teach her about that you won't win all the time and that you don't need to treat it as a loss, treat it as a gain. I've gained more knowledge now in these other areas and see the wins, learn to sit down after a loss and say, where could I do better? For me, cool, I need more muscle. Got the judges' feedback, I need more muscle. Okay, what's the plan now to do better so I can place higher next time? Dive into off season. I'm going to do these XYZ things, and I'm going to now build a plan that I'm really excited to start on this next journey, right? And to get excited about that. And then, so that's the work on things column from the quote loss. Here's the learning column. But then here's what did I also already gain, though? What wins did I have despite the medal? I had plenty of wins this prep, more wins than not, besides the medal part, right? So then lay out your wins. I came away with, you know, all the things that I already talked about as far as life lessons and being in a super healthy physical, mental, and spiritual place despite life's other challenges outside prep. I came out with tons of friends. I learned so much about fitness and nutrition that I'm applying to my new clients. Learning all these things has attracted tons of new clients to me because they want to rub shoulders with knowledge and somebody who's excited about life and somebody that, you know, sees possibility and all that good stuff, right? So there's so many wins. And so I highly recommend you guys doing that to yourself if you are in a pursuit of something and maybe you didn't quite hit the goal at whatever level or get the thing, or you feel like you've quote had a loss, set it up like that. And I guarantee you'll see you had way more wins than maybe the technical thing you were looking for. And now you're ready to springboard into the next part of your journey. So hopefully that was helpful to you guys. Just the summation of where we're at now, as far as anybody who's interested in my fitness journey, and just the lessons I learned along the way, obstacles I overcame, little bit of tips and tricks thrown in there nutritionally as to keep everything exciting. Keep an eye out for the stuff I'm coming out with very soon. I'll be posting announcements about the fun recipe food things, and they'll of course be free stuff on my Instagram coming up. I'm going to be videoing new content and all of that. I posted some little teasers in my stories. But yeah, so keep an eye out for more nutrition stuff, because I'm going to be creating a lot of fun things for you guys that, for those of you who aren't in prep or you're in an off season, like, that are things you can all do and that you'll love and be able to have the fit mind, body, soul you want to have on these foods. So yeah, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thanks for always being here. Thanks for sharing the episodes. Thanks for messaging me things you have enjoyed. It helps me to make content along those lines, stuff that you want to hear about and that you think is helpful or that you need guidance on. And just love meeting new people. I've got some new reviews that went up on the podcast. Thank you so much for those of you all leaving 5-star reviews. Make sure you follow me too so that I can message you and thank you, and just keep in touch. So hope you all have a great rest of your week, and I'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.